Exsurgat Deus dissipentur inimici eius, et fugi anchio derunt eum a facie eius. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered, and let all those who hate him flee from before his face. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. Let's get started with the prayer. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. Sancta Michael Arcangele, defende nos in proelio. Contra nequitiam et insidias diaboli est praesidium. Imperatili Deus supplices deprecamur tui que princeps militae calestis satana maliosque spiritus malignos que ad perditionem animarum pervegantur in mundo divina virtute in inferum netrude. Amen. Speculum justitiae ora pro nobis. Beatus Carolus et Domo Austriae ora pro nobis. Domine ostende facem tuum et salvierimus. Ave Maria Purissima, Immaculata Conceptio est, Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen. So, I had no intention of actually covering any of the news that was being covered on the January 6th event. And I had no intention of it because it was, you know, your regular misdirection, a lot of ado about nothing burgers. Now, for those of you who haven't seen the rebellion in Kazakhstan, it makes that little party on January 6th look like a nice picnic at the beach. Which was why I had actually zero intention of covering this. But people want to lie, and they want to make it obvious that they're lying. And so, here we are. Ashley Babbitt, shot while crawling through a broken window by a Capitol Police officer. Now, there are a lot of opinions going in a lot of different directions. In the video, you cannot hear anybody make it. You can hear the shot loud and clear, but you cannot hear anybody making the announcement, "Stop or I'll shoot." In the video, you can see at least four police officers in full SWAT gear standing there, just kind of moseying their way away from what's going on. Like, they're looking at it going, "I don't even know if I want to be here." But they don't do anything. And this Capitol Police officer, Lieutenant Boyd, who probably shouldn't be getting commendations, probably actually should be at least fired from his job and, I don't know, tried for manslaughter? Something like that. But they didn't think that the little 5 foot something or other Ashley Babbitt was all that much of a threat. They didn't reach up and grab her and pull her back out of the window, which they clearly could have done. Now, should she have been crawling through a broken window in the Capitol? I don't know. I somehow think that was probably, yeah, maybe a little bit of a bad idea. Because we're talking about a broken interior window. Like, seriously, imagine you're in a building and they broke the window that's in the door to the dentist's office, and you decide to climb through the window. Like, really does, like, I gotta be honest with you on that one. Doesn't exactly look kosher. Should she have died over it? No, I may be a baton upside the head. But she most certainly should not have died from it. And this is an honest assessment, knowing full well that I've actually met Ashley Babbitt. It was a very long time ago. But you don't forget a name like Ashley Babbitt. I'm just saying. I'm inclined to give her the benefit of the doubt. She seemed like a pretty cool person. The fact that she was silly enough to end up at a rally that I knew was a trap. I mean, you know, it happens. Here's the thing. The media is trying to cover up the fact that a police officer shot her in cold blood. And in so doing, and this is the thing that actually chaps my ass about that video, is that he shot her, and had he missed her, he could have shot one of his other fellow police officers because they were downrange from him, from her. They were behind her. And that's the problem that I actually have most about that shooting. The situational awareness, when you look at the video footage, makes it very clear that Ashley Babbitt, I mean, let's be real. Baton upside the head, great. Gunshot to the neck? I don't think so. Gunshot to the neck with your fellow police officers behind her? Downrange from where you're pulling the trigger? No. Even the most basic people know better than to do that. And then they got, what was her face? What's her name? The one that was supposedly crushed by the crowd, or possibly beaten in the head by police officers. Or, as the medical examiner seemed to think, an amphetamine overdose. Now, here's an interesting statement. A middle-aged woman who's obese overdosed on amphetamines and also may have been crushed or beaten to death by a police officer. A middle-aged woman on amphetamines? Which amphetamines? Are we talking methamphetamines? Because I might know a little bit about drugs, and I've never in my life seen a fat lady on amphetamines. Those two things are kind of mutually exclusive. They're saying it was an accidental overdose. Well, where did she accidentally get the amphetamines? See, there are some things that don't match. There's some things that don't match in the situations. Now, maybe, I don't know, maybe they were talking about methylethylene deoxymethamphetamine. Again, very few fat people on ecstasy. What amphetamine, pray tell? Like, seriously? Well, she was on a speedball. I don't think so. I don't think so. Unless she was a serious weed smoker too, which possible. But fun fact about most of the weed smokers I know, they have a tendency to not get that involved. They're certainly not going to be on the front line of a crowd push to break into the Capitol on January 6th. Now, maybe she's wrong place, wrong time. But here's the thing. The video shows it's likely she was crushed by the crowd. And the video shows it's distinctively possible that she was beaten by one of the cops while she was on the ground. Now, I don't know for sure, because the camera angles that they released are garbage. But you can see a cop raise the club over his head and swing it not out at the crowd, but down. Is she on the ground where he's swinging? I don't know. There's a press of cops. You really can't see. But the amphetamine overdose seems like a lie. It seems. I'm not saying it is. Just some of the other surrounding facts just don't fit what's going on. I saw the picture, and I'm not going to say her name. It's, I think, Rosalind or Rosmond. It's fine. It's questionable. It's very, very questionable. And then there's the other anomaly. See, Brian Sicknick, we know that they tried to say that he was killed because he got hit in the head with a fire extinguisher. We know that was a lie. He ended up having a stroke a couple days later. But here's the other anomaly. And this is the question. Like, this is the one piece of data, or technically two pieces of data, that should have you questioning everything. Two police officers committed suicide within days of January 6th. If my guess is correct, and I have to say my guess because I didn't bother pulling down the precise days, but I think one killed himself 2 days later. The other one killed himself 4 days later. Committed suicide. Now, Shug, I have dealt with suicidal depression. I have dealt with a lot of events in this world that when it comes to suicide, you can usually see some stuff crop up. And here's what doesn't happen. Dudes don't commit suicide if everything's fine, if everything's kosher. Now, they didn't come back and say that the two police officers had a history of mental illness or depression, which is what they should mention. But it doesn't sound, but like, the thing is that at most people, at first minute, they go, okay, well, you know, and then this guy committed suicide, and then Lieutenant such and such committed suicide. And everybody's just like, oh, okay, well, suicide's clearly not a result of injuries, so they clearly didn't die because of that. But my antenna goes up when you go, hey, there were police officers who committed suicide in the aftermath of January 6th. And not just one. Two or more? I'm sorry. What? And I suddenly actually now want to look at the list of police officers who've committed suicide in the last year. From January 6, 2020 to January 6, 2000, or excuse me, from January 6, 2021 to January 6, 2022. Now I want to know. Because where there's smoke, there's fire. And two officers committing suicide in the immediate aftermath. That's smoke. You may not think so, but there's two things that actually cause what people refer to as post-traumatic stress disorder. And the first one is doing what you think is right, doing something absolutely bloody, pushing yourself well above and beyond, and then finding out you got lied to, or that people hate you for it. And then the other one is when you do something that you are truly embarrassed and humiliated and ashamed of. So I'd be interested to know if there were any police officers in the DC Capitol Police who maybe went to confession to confess said things. I don't want to know their names. I don't want to know the specifics, but I would just be like, hey, did anybody confess to, you know, killing somebody at the Capitol riot? Because they're not going to get prosecuted regardless, but it would certainly add some light. Did anybody go to, do you think maybe a police officer went to confession to receive that consolation, to find out, wait, you know, to say I killed somebody in the Capitol, in the Capitol riot on January 6th. And then how many police officers since January 6th have committed suicide or fallen into, I don't know, maybe gotten a domestic violence call because of post-traumatic, because the post-traumatic stress of having done something so evil is eating at them? How many other police officers have committed suicide? Nobody's tracking that. And why is that important to track at this point? Because if you have two police officers who commit suicide in the immediate aftermath of a major event, then the question is why? What happened? And oh, hey, by the way, clearly, because here's the thing. Two police officers committing suicide is one of two things. Days after the event is one of two things. It's either A, they feel guilty. They feel immense amounts of remorse to the degree of despair that they end it all. Or B, they knew something and they actually got Epstein'd. They knew something, they were angry about what happened, they were going to say something, and they got Epstein'd. Because you're talking 2 and 4 days later. So you've got a, so I mean, you've got a little bit of time to clean the mess up. But no matter what, two suicides in the immediate aftermath of a major event like January 6th, there is nothing, nothing that should have you just walking past that and not going, wait a minute, what the hell was that? It is clear to me that everything surrounding January 6th was absolute wrongdoing. It was ridiculous for the orange man to think that he was going to somehow call in millions of people. And to be sure, they got millions. They show you the pictures of the event at the Capitol, down at the Ellipse, and around the Capitol building. There are people on all sides of the Capitol building, and I don't think people really understand how large that building is. That the Capitol building is huge. When you see the sheer volume of people that are around that building, you have to understand that the aerial shots don't really do it justice, because the aerial shots take away the ability to have perspective on how large the building is to how large a person is, which is not very. The Capitol building is almost large enough that a single person standing on the Capitol steps looks maybe like a raisin on the hood of an automobile, where the Capitol building is the automobile. It is a ridiculously large building. And it was a ridiculously large building surrounded by an ocean of people on the front side of the building and on the back side. There were so many people at the event that there were people capable of being at the event to completely be unaware of the fact that the building was being stormed in the first place. As many people have testified in their podcast when they went there to cover it, and had no idea what was going on. And actually had to find out after the fact the next day that the building had been stormed. And I say after the fact because, well, with that many people, you're going to overload the cell phone network. So you really aren't going to get everything. And there's 13,000 hours of surveillance footage. And you're not going to tell me that they had 1 million people. And this is the thing. You're not going to tell me that they had 1 million people at the Capitol. And the FBI, who provided drone footage for the Kyle Rittenhouse case, didn't have drones in the air to actually see what was going on. Oh, nobody thought about that one, did they? The FBI was in the air over Kenosha, Wisconsin. You're going to tell me that the FBI wasn't in the air over the Capitol building? Really? I think maybe some people done had forgot. I think a lot of people forgot. I think it's really easy to think that with everything going on in Kenosha, Wisconsin, that the FBI had drones in the air, got drone footage. I mean, it's not very good drone footage, to be sure, but it was drone footage of the riots in Kenosha. Which leads me to believe that they got drone footage of the insurrection in Seattle and the riots in Portland. See, this is the thing that I think there's a lot of people not understanding. They messed around and made the mistake of exposing the fact that they had surveillance drone footage of American citizens on American property within the U.S. borders. And they made the mistake of letting it be known that they had it for Kyle Rittenhouse. So where's the footage for the Capitol? Where's the footage for Portland? Where's the footage for Seattle? And somebody explained to me why two police officers either committed suicide or got disappeared. What did they do that was so heinous that they felt so much in despair that they committed suicide? And notwithstanding that, what happened? What did they see that got them disappeared? I'm sorry, but this episode is all about how it's a lie. I have spent a lot of time having to vet and screen and cross-check all of my references. And it's not a deep in-depth cross-check with a lot of things, because I've had to actually take a look at the narrative. What pushes forward the agenda? We know the agenda. You've been listening to this podcast for, what, a year now? Maybe you've been binge listening to some of the episodes. I'm sorry that you put yourself through a whole listening to my voice for that long, but I've been doing this podcast for a year and a half, going on 2 years now. And everything has a narrative. There's one narrative that everybody's trying to weave together, and the overthrowing of the Republican form of government of the United States of America is imperative for the great narrative that they want to weave around the world. And whether it's half-drunk Nancy Pelosi or half-dead and senile Joe Biden or anybody in between, or anyone in between San Francisco and Delaware, it's the same agenda headed in the same direction, financed by all the same people. You cannot have one nation that is outside of the net, which is why they hate Russia. Because Russia is about to have a whole group of nations outside of the net. And the orange man was a threat. Love him or hate him, he was a threat. He was the rube who goes walking into the building and asking the questions like, hey, why do we even need NATO? We needed NATO back when there was a Warsaw Pact, because you had, you know, the Soviet Union and the Warsaw Pact. But there's no Warsaw Pact. So why do we need NATO?
Bob, you can't possibly ask those questions.
Why are we still in Afghanistan? Why are we still in Iraq? Why are we still pushing into Syria? Why are we fighting everybody's wars?
Oh, you can't ask that question.
And it was not Joe Biden's decision to leave Afghanistan. It was Joe Biden's decision to destroy anything that looked like a dignified exit from Afghanistan. Interesting, though. Why didn't anybody lie to him? Weird. Why didn't they lie to him the way they lied to Donald Trump in order to keep troops in Syria? And how is General Mark Milley not a traitor? Well, I want to understand white rage. Shut up. Many of these things, like, no joke, we talk about them, and they're way above. Like, you're talking about a 30,000, 50,000 foot view above the earth, looking down at this picture. These aren't things that we can, like, you're not going to be able to walk into the Pentagon and slap Mark Milley in the face and slap him in handcuffs. Ain't happening. You're not going to be able to go to Europe and stop the Austrians from victimizing their citizens for the second time in 100 years. Like, legit Nazi victimizing for the second time in 100 years. I don't understand how they're missing that, but whatevs. But they're not the only ones missing it. You got Lithuania. Lithuania, France, England, Australia. Look around, people. The roles have switched. I'm not like a big supporter of Russia, but I'm certainly not an antagonist of Russia at this point. The roles have switched. Western civilization has lost its freaking mind. Vaccine passport? Come on. You want to make the elections in America look like a joke? And then you want to condemn Russia? Well, their elections aren't free and fair. Pfft. Have you looked in a mirror lately? We're headed in a direction that none of us really wants to be. And I know all of those brain dead people out there who are just going along, not paying attention. Are they going to wake up and they're going to go, I didn't think it was going to be like this. And what did you think was going to happen? The people you were listening to were spewing out hate and venom every single day. Lying to your face every single day. And it does make me sad. It makes me very sad to hear and see what's going on. But all of those people simultaneously, and this is actually probably the positive part, all of those people, every last one of the liars, every last one of the usurpers, every last one of these evil people who've decided that they're going the way of Nazi Germany over a virus opening the door for climate change. Every one of these totalitarian dirt-worshipping hippies. And I say dirt-worshipping. Look, all of these people believe in evolution, which means that you got to believe that we evolved from sludge. And it's that sludge that these people worship. It's that filth that these people worship. And all of them are going to be held to account. They've known the truth. Regardless of whether or not they've personally been brought into the Catholic Church and shown the fullness of the truth, it doesn't matter. The truth has been out there for a century, and they're all going to pay for it. Ridiculously, ridiculously. So be it. I wouldn't want to be them in the afterlife. So don't be. Question everything. This is Caleb the Mechanic with Radio Free Catholic. May God bless you and the Virgin protect you. Nomine Patris et Filii et Spiritus Sancti. Amen.